Please stand with me tonight to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And as you know, the book of Revelation, Christ reveals himself as God of the very God. We'll come to the verse. Christ reveals himself throughout the book of Revelation as God of the very God. He is the Lamb of God to be worshipped, and he is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. So Christ is also the final word to this world. He's the final word. So there is nothing more to come. No more revelation, no more dreams, no more visions. It's all here in the Bible. It's all here in the Bible. That's why we put it this way. Bible is sufficient in all matters of faith and practice. So I have one verse for the lapse of time we have before us tonight. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. My brothers and sisters, this verse has been many times qualified to be the last gospel call. And it's all by grace. It shows us the love of our loving God. Before to bring the Bible to a closure, it is as if God says, let us give men and women another opportunity. Or maybe they will hear this invitation. They will hear the word of God. They will think about what is the purpose of this life. And they will see also what Christ has done for sinners on that cross, dying. The innocent, the just dying for the unjust. So this is the last call given to us in the word of God. My brothers and sisters, if the last words of men, sometimes when we are at the bedside of a dying person, or even his whisper, every word he whispers is like gold to us. We want, come on, say more. We want to hear more. But if the last words of a mere man are so important to us, what about the last words of the Creator? The great God who has created this universe, the one who gives us life, the one who gives us sustenance, the one who provides for us, the one who protects us. Oh, we certainly need to bear attention and heed to his commands. But I have chosen, that's why I read Revelation 22 verse 6 to the end, because this is also called the epilogue. If you want the summary of what the book of Revelation is all about, I wish I could expound more, but just as a background of what brought verse 17, we remember how the Lord Jesus Christ presented himself. Who is Christ? And if you bear with me, in verse 12, Christ is speaking and he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Please, I do not want to forget this. It's very important. There is a blessing to read the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. That's for reading later. But there is a blessing for you and me. So we shouldn't be scared to read the book of Revelation. It's only people who are making it so complicated. But it is a book for the church. It is a book for believers. It is a book also giving warnings to non-believers and calling them, how could you be reconciled with your creator, your maker, your designer? How could you have your sins forgiven? How could you have that guilt obliterated, removed, and taken away? And you can appear before God as if you have never done the slightest sin in your life. That's the meaning of justification, just as if I have never done anything wrong. So it is a book which is a blessed, but also there is a blessing for anyone who reads it and try to understand the warnings, but also the comfort we can find through the book of Revelation. But that's the first thing. Christ presents himself as the coming one. He came once. He died on the cross of Calvary, 3 days in the grave. He is risen from the dead, 40 days with his disciples. He ascended into heaven from the resurrection until his ascension. 50 days later, he has sent the Holy Spirit. And since then, he said, I will build my church. And from there on until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, we have that promise. He said he will come back. And we trust and we pray daily. We long for that coming. But in verse 13, Christ gives us another description of his person. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You know, alphabet makes a language. Just imagine the English language without the 26 letters of the alphabet. It will not make sense at all. So in the same way, life without the alphabet of Christ is meaningless. So Christ makes a sense and makes a meaning to your life and to my life. Without him, our hearts are empty, they are void. We may find all the pleasures. We may be in a nice house, posh house, a nice car, having a good job, the best salary and so. But we will never find rest. We will never find that peace. Oh, there is nothing greater than to leave this building again tonight, having all my sins being forgiven, having that peace of God which surpasseth all understanding. And this is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So he presents himself as the Alpha and the Omega. Then in verse 16, Christ is speaking again. He said, I'm the root and the offspring of David. So he's the ancestor of David. But he is also the son of David. Or you may think there is a paradox here. But actually, Christ is the creator of David. He's the root. He's the root. He's before David. Or he was before Abraham. He was before Adam. He was before Eve. He was before Noah. He was before Isaac. He was before you and me. So he's God. But also he's the offspring of David. And then he says, I'm the bright and morning star. With Christ, having Christ in your life brings an end to the darkness. So that is how Christ presents himself in the previous verses. I know I have been selective in choosing some of them. And that leads us to verse 17. And in verse 17, you have what is called also a triple invitation. I could even say there is a quadruple invitation there, because one of the comes is implicit. It doesn't come out, but it could be introduced there. It could be put there to make to amplify the invitation given to us. But let's say at least three times we are given this word come. And actually, the word come is the motto of the church. The church motto throughout the ages is always to come. Come to Christ. Come to life. Come to the living water. Come to salvation. For there is no other Savior except the Lord Jesus Christ. So though the two first comes there are in relation to Christ coming, oh, please allow me, if you could allow me tonight, to apply them as a plea to invite sinners again. All the three comes, let's relate them to a great invitation or three great invitations given by God, inviting sinners to have their sins forgiven and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but guess, who is inviting us? Who is saying come? And we have three witnesses. I will do my best to be short on those things, because there is more to come in explaining how we can receive the fountains of living water coming in our hearts, coming in our minds, and making of us new creatures before our Creator. So the first person who is inviting us in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit is inviting you. The Spirit is saying, come. And it's interesting, because This is about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God himself. And there are so many texts throughout the Bible where we see that the Holy Spirit is not just a mere power or an influence. No, it is God himself, God the Creator. And I believe wherever the Spirit is speaking, the Son of God is speaking, the Father is also speaking. Because the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they always work together. So even there, you can have the whole Trinity, the Godhead, the triune God, inviting you and me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit, he is God, he is the one, he is your maker, my maker, but he is the one, or you may not appreciate this, but he is the one who breathed life in you and me. You are alive, I am alive. Oh, do you think it's good medicine and good food which keeps you alive? No. It's God who is keeping you alive. It's God who is keeping the air you breathe. Did you make it? Did I make it? No. Where is it from? Oh, don't tell me science says it's just from the nature and so on. Somebody must, even the air shows us or tells us there is a creator. So the God who gives you life, who gives you sustenance, who gives you protection, who gives you his presence, who is in his sovereignty, keeps you alive day after day, is inviting you to come. And my brothers and sisters, this kind of invitation, that word come, as I said, is the church motto, is it abounds in the word of God. If I may just quote one or two instances, just for you to appreciate, this is a great invitation. And the earliest one I can go back to is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come! God, normally, he should crush you down. He should crush me down. There should never be negotiation. But it's as if God is saying, look, I'm sitting at the table. I'm inviting you. Let's come. Let's talk about it. Why are you spurning God? Why are you rejecting God? The fool says in his heart, there is no God, but he has no evidence. He just says, oh, I decided there is no God, but he has no evidence. And we know the reality of God is written in our hearts, in our minds, in our conscience. Deep down, even the atheists, and I have met some of them, when they are in trouble, oh my God, you don't believe in God, but suddenly a tragedy or a catastrophe happens to you, and you call God. Why daily you deny God? There is God. It is a reality. And even, they say science proved that there is no God. Believe me, science never proved there is no God. Actually, all good scientists should say, or we can list them, so many of them, they said indeed there is God. So we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reveal God unto us. And another one in Isaiah 55, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Salvation is free. We cannot purchase it. We cannot buy it. We cannot earn it. It is given unto us. And we know the classic text, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We could carry on. In John chapter 7, verse 37, 38, 39, the Lord Jesus is speaking there also. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Come, says the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, we could multiply. The Bible abounds with such invitations to the sinners. What a surprise that the Almighty God inviting rebels like us, inviting people, his worst enemies, people who have spurned him, who have mocked him, who have even denied his existence. But still, instead of saying, call them one by one and let them be destroyed, he said, come, 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 let's sit together. You can receive life, And even not just life. Do you know how the Bible qualifies the kind of life we will receive if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent from our sins? The Bible says, everlasting life. Life without end. And believe me, who has everlasting life? That's the life of God. Mere creatures like you and me, feeble, weak, as we are. But God is willing to give us everlasting life. Oh, that's the first person who is inviting us in this great text. The second person, let me put that word, the person there, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the bride? And we know from the Revelation 19, we are not far, Ephesians chapter 5 and so on, we know the bride here is the church. So, my brothers and sisters, the presence of the Church of Jesus Christ in this world is an open and gracious invitation to every sinner. Believe me, the day the church is taken, no more. No more come. No more invitation to believe in Christ. So that's why we invite sinners to be reconciled with God. So the bride is the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Spirit, in unison, in conjunction with the bride, the church, is inviting you. So we have two witnesses inviting us tonight to come. It says the church echoes what the Holy Spirit said earlier. The Holy Spirit, God, said, come. And the church also emulates the same language as the living God and inviting you and me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a third witness mentioned in this text again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Every Christian, individual Christian, is also inviting you tonight. That's what I'm doing. And if you are a non-believer, let's say you have never sought and found the Lord, you have never repented from your sins, you are sitting near a Christian tonight, do you know deep in his heart what kind of invitation he's talking to? Oh, he may not express it in words, but deep down in his heart he's saying to you, come. Come, as I'm doing now. So God is inviting each one of us to come. The Spirit of God is inviting us. The Lord Jesus is inviting us. The Father is inviting us. The church throughout all ages, from its beginning until the day Christ will come back, the church is inviting sinners to come. But also every single Christian. And you know, in the Bible, but also in the court, for a case to be tried or for a case to be even considered, you need two or three witnesses. Have we found the three witnesses? Oh, yes, we found them. The Spirit says, come. The church says, come. But Christians individually are saying to you and me tonight, if you have never sought and found the Lord, come. And when we come, we receive life. But let me make it harder. There is a condition. There is a condition. And the verse explains to us the condition. The second part. And let him that is athirst come. So this is directly to you and me. If we have never sought and found the Lord, let him that is athirst come. Please, can I plead with you? Don't say you are not thirsty. Don't say you are not thirsty. Because every person, child, adult, elderly, man, women, no matter where you are from, deep down in your heart you are thirsty. And that's why one of the great church fathers said, we will never, I'm paraphrasing what he said, we will never find rest or peace in our lives until we find rest in him, in God. So you and me, we are thirsty, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can slack That slack of thirst can stop it. Only the Lord Jesus can quench that thirst. That's why my title, actually, which I didn't give you since the beginning, is Quenching the Soul's Thirst. How? my thirst, the soul is thirsty, the soul is slacking. How can I quench that thirst? And that's why we need this invitation to come to the Lord and to receive salvation in his name. Christ only can slack the thirst of our souls. My brothers and sisters, on the cross of Calvary, Christ, you remember those of us who read the Bible, Christ said on that cross, I thirst. Why? Why did he say that? And I believe that he said, I thirst, so that none of us who come to him tonight or who has ever found him will never be thirsty again. That rivers of water, fountains of living water will be spread in our lives. Please look at with me just a previous chapter, in the previous chapter, chapter 21, verse 6. And Christ is repeating the same promise again. If you come tonight to him, and there is that great promise you will receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So you need to come to Christ. He took upon himself my thirst, your thirst, if you trust in him. And as I believe in him, if you repent tonight in coming to Christ, you receive forgiveness of sins and you are given a place in heaven. That is the promise we find in the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, what does it mean to be thirsty? Maybe we need to explain that. And I believe unbelief is at the root of thirst. Atheism is at the root of thirst. And believe me, even in our church here, I met brothers and sisters who have met also people, very rich people. And most of those rich people, they confess, they are not believers, they confess to our people, the people with whom I spoke, we are the most miserable people. They have everything you and me, so may even envy them, who shouldn't, but here they are, everything, material, finances, and so on, possible, they have it, but they are so unhappy. And those of you who have been to some of the third world countries, you find people there, they don't have much, but believe me, they are happy. They are the most happy people because they have found the Lord. They know how to live with contentment because godliness with contentment is a mega gain. It's a great gain. And we come to Christ, we will find that gain. So unbelief makes us to be parched, to die of thirst. While heaven is a place of blessedness and bliss, hell is a place of torment and everlasting thirst. What does it mean to be thirsty? To be thirsty means that inner desire to find happiness and satisfaction. It is craving after a purpose in life. If I could speak in the most kind way to the younger ones, what is the purpose of life? Is it just to have a degree, to study hard, and to have a nice job, to found a family, to pay the mortgage, and to wake up, to go to work, to come back? Is this what life is all about? Oh, certainly, there must be something greater. To have God, to live with God, to have fellowship with the living God, receiving a new nature, that now my prayers can be heard from above. Oh, there is nothing greater than that. So life has a purpose, and we have to look for that purpose. To thirst is to desire nothing less than salvation and Christ. Maybe again someone here is saying, oh no, I'm not thirsty. Why do you want me to be thirsty after what you are talking about? Oh, can I plead with you, please? Ask the Lord. Lord, make me to be thirsty tonight. And you will see there will be a great change in your life just because of that prayer. But let's come to another part. And I will proceed with some questions just to help us because this is really a great text. Who can come? Who is the person who can come tonight? Please don't Many people, when they speak, oh, I don't know if I'm invited in the church here, they speak about election. It is mentioned in the Bible. But what about if I'm not elect? Please don't bother yourself with that yet. That's not the subject of our preaching tonight. But the verse says, come. That's the only command we receive from the text here. Whosoever will is the condition. Do you really want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to have that new heart, that new nature, new mind, having your prayers being answered by God? So the answer is to come. Come to Christ. Every sinner that repents is welcomed. Whosoever, meaning anyone, the rich, the poor, the educated, non-educated, black, white, no matter where you are from, which, no matter what is your nationality, whosoever, the text says, will can come. Christ promised that he that cometh to him, he will in no wise cast out. The gospel is to be preached to every creature. It is not about trying, it is about trusting. It is not about wish. Oh, I wish. It's not about wishing. It is about willing. Do you want to be saved? Then the Lord Jesus said, come. Oh, Lord, you can pray to him tonight. Turn my will in order to turn against myself and to turn to thee in order to receive salvation. That's a simplest prayer each one of us could make in order to find the Lord. But the text says again in this verse, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let him take. And this is a very important point. Every religion in this world says, give, give, bring, bring, do, do, try, try. But the Christian faith says, it is given. It is done. Take. It is done. You don't contribute anything. You don't need even, and this is very important, you don't need even to stir up your emotions. No, it's not about emotion. You don't need to stir up any feeling. Oh, you need to repent. You need to trust what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. You need to come to him by faith. You need to yield your life, to submit your life unto him in order to be saved, for there is no other way. So you come to Christ, even you don't need to know the Bible. When I came to Christ the first time, I was burning Bibles. I was against Christians, and there's nothing to do with this book. Until that verse I read earlier, Matthew 11, verse 28, that's a great verse. Come. The greatest invitation. And I came, what Islam and religion and religiosity and prayers, giving alms and fasting and praying five times a day, couldn't give me, reciting things which I don't even understand, couldn't give me that peace. But that day, when I came to Christ and said, Lord Jesus, save me, a wretched sinner like me, I repent before thee, I knew He has forgiven me. I knew that Christ is God, not just a prophet of a religion, but he is indeed what he claims to be, the Son of the living God who died on the cross of Calvary to redeem us. My brothers and sisters, the devil wouldn't want you to come tonight, but come to Christ and you will receive. Only take. Take means trust Christ and repent from your sinful ways. But now, when to come? When to come? And you can see in the text, there are two commands in the text. Come and take. And come and take are all imperative, present, and singular. Which means what? Imperative, it is a command. I must come now. It is in the present tense. I must come now. And it is singular also. We come individually, not as a nation, not as a tribe, but we come one by one. Salvation is one by one. We enter into the kingdom of God. So each one of us can come to Christ and receive salvation. Come, take, repent, and believe in the atoning work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Don't wait for a better time. Come right now without delay. Repent before him as if there is no tomorrow. Bible speaks about today is the day of salvation. Now, another question, what is the cost? And the verse gives the answer. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, at no cost, because salvation is down to the Lord. Through his atoning death on the cross, he paid the price, and there is no other way, and nothing else will do. And that needs to be done. Whatever needs to be done is already done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I close, explaining more on the word come, what do I receive when I come to the Lord? What are the blessings I receive? I come to the waters of salvation and I'm washed clean from all my sins. I'm forgiven. I feed my soul on the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone. The body is not everything there is. There is a soul. We have a soul, and that soul needs to have fellowship with God. So I receive that as a blessing. I receive the riches of everlasting life, and I will never be thirsty again. About God, about life. As the Lord Jesus spoke with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, Christ said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." But Christ said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never be thirsty again." It's in John chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. And another blessing, which I will not turn into, is expressed to us in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. Many blessings, new nature, new heart, all my sins forgiven, my prayers are answered from the courts of the divine God from above. And I know that when I die, when I give my last breath on this earth, I will be received by my Heavenly Father. My brothers and sisters, our response to these three invitations by the Spirit, by the bride, by every Christian, will reveal who we are. Who are we? There is nothing cerebral. There is nothing laborious. There is nothing sophisticated or complex to do. I need only to come in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have nothing to offer except my sins. And to come is a spiritual act of the mind, the heart, and the will. That's repentance, a U-turn. I'm going this way, but now I hear the gospel of redeeming grace. I repent, and I see what Christ has done for me on that cross. Oh, Lord, be merciful unto me, a wretched sinner. And come means I'm not yet there. I'm still out of the grace of God. Come means I must move from where I am. And come means I must come out from my deadness to life. Come means I must swallow my pride by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his precious blood. Oh, can I invite you tonight? There is the free offer of the gospel. Come to Christ, believe in him, trust in his precious blood, repent from all your sins, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come to Christ. He paid the price. Let's pray together. O God, our Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne of grace, and we pray, Lord, that these things which have been just said will trouble the soul of a sinner in our midst tonight, that because of one conversion, we will rejoice with the heavenly angels, but also we will rejoice with our great God that there is a sinner who repented from his sins, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and speak to us again through thy word. We ask these mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close.